The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I'm continuing with what I started on Thursday. Why are you here on Thursday? How to respond to God's word. How to respond to God's word. So let's try. Do you now have your Bible? Let's see. Glory to God. You now have your Bible? Amen. I'll ask you again at Immersion on Thursday. Do you have a Bible? Glory to God. Look at the neighbor. If he or she bought a new Bible, say congratulations, you've achieved something this new year. Something really great. You bought a Bible. Can you see now? Amen. Don't be someone that your kids will grow up in your house and will never see any Bible in your house. Say, where is all this in my phone? Can't buy a Bible. I grew up having plenty of Bibles in my house. Was your house like that? Different, the one that I've torn, the one that I knew, every kind of Bible. So I have plenty of Bible. Buy Bible. Say amen. So Matthew chapter 13, we began to look at the fact that it is actually possible for 5 persons, 10 persons, to sit under the same teaching, sit under the same anointing, and yet be blessed differently. First of all, we began to look at Matthew 13. That's the parable of the sower. We saw that the seed that fell on the wayside, the seed that fell on stony place, the stony ground, the seed that fell on thorny ground, and the seed that fell on the good ground, they all yielded different results. First of all, you note that it is the same seed. It is the same seed. And in that context, the seed there was talking about the word of God. It's the same seed, but it fell on different soils and it had different results. And we went further to see that even the seed that fell on good ground, that's verse 8. Bible said, but all that fell into good ground, even that particular one, did not all yield the same results. Some yielded 100-fold, some yielded 60-fold, some yielded 30-fold. And that again tells you that, first of all, when we talk about the kind of soil, we're talking about the state of the man's heart. That determines whether the seed will germinate or not. But even when your heart is right, there are still other factors that can cause the word of God not to work in your life. And one of those things we're looking at is how you respond to the word. How you respond to it. 30 people can receive a prophetic word and only 10 of them will have results after 1 year. It's about how you respond to that word. 100 people can sit under the teaching of the word of God and 100 of them will have different kind of results. Some will have 30-fold, some will have 100-fold. Have you not seen 2-3 people who have been attending and worshipping in the same church for like 1 year? Yet, after 1 year, you look at their life, the result is not the same. And sometimes you are wondering, is it the same pastor you've been listening to? So you notice in this Matthew chapter 13, the problem was never with the seed. It was the same seed that fell by the wayside. It was the same seed that fell on the stony ground. It was the same seed that fell on different soils. In fact, on the good ground, it was the same seed and the same soil, yet had different results. I what I'm talking about. And so, you know, it's a good thing to talk about this, but the year is starting already. And this is the time we are teaching a lot. This is the time we are praying a lot. This is the time God is making a lot of promises, you know, promising us so much that he will do. All of us are going to receive this, but it won't work in everybody the same way. It won't. It's again about how you respond to the word. It's again about having the right response to the word. That's what will cause the word of God to work in your life. And we saw this. We started laying this foundation on Thursday. Amen. And what I'm talking about, responding to the word, I'm talking about responding both when the word is being taught and after the word has been taught. I said that on Thursday. The word of God will work in your life, and it is dependent on what you do when you are hearing the word. Looks like you're hearing me this morning. And what you do after you hear me. These two things are important. What you do when the word is coming. There are people who are in church who do not know how to respond to God's word. And after they wonder why it's not working. Are you following me? They wonder why it's not working. While some know how to respond just in church, but they don't know what to do after they leave church. And that's why part of proper Christian conduct is that you must be taught how to react when you hear God's word. How to act when you hear God's word. How to respond when you hear God's word. It's proper Christian teaching. Proper Christian conduct. There's a way to talk. There's a way to act. There's a way to react whenever you hear the word of God being taught. There's a way to react. Are you following me? Whether it is the word being taught or it is instructions you are getting, we're going to look at all of this in this series. I said it on Thursday. Or it is correction. For instance, there's a way to react to corrections for it to work in your life. When God corrects you, there is an aim. He has an aim. Now, how you respond will determine whether the correction has worked or not. And when that day comes, I'm going to show you a church that responded very well to correction. And you see how the correction produces results in their life. For instance, when you are corrected, if that correction works, it will produce repentance. But because people don't know how to respond to correction, correction instead of producing repentance in their life, it produces anger, pain, complaint, worry, and all of that in their hearts. Are you following what I'm saying? There's a way to respond also to prophetic words. Imagine this, we're going to be speaking a lot. Oh, this, we're going to bless you. We're going to declare God's word. Now, whether it's going to work or not is about how you respond to it, what you do with it when I'm speaking, and what you do with it after I've spoken. And it's a good thing, I've seen on Thursday, it's been long I taught these things. But it's a good thing the Lord is asking me to go over them again this period. Are you ready? So we're going to see on Thursday how that the word can change your life if you have the right attitude towards it. One of the things I said on Thursday is that you must have a receptive attitude towards God's word. A receptive heart. A receptive heart. A receptive heart. You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We read about the Berean Christians. Bible said, "These you are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind." So that is the way to receive the word. With all readiness of mind. I was closing with that on Thursday. That you must be ready. You must have a ready heart. A receptive heart. Towards the word of God. Amen. Now I begin to show you this morning how to respond to teachings when they come. For instance, as you are in church this morning, how am I supposed to respond to this message? Whether it's a special program, whether you are learning GTI classes, whether you are in your cell, whether every time you hear God's word, there's a way to respond. If not, it's just going to fly over your head. Every time you hear the word of God is potent enough to change your life. Very, very potent. It's now dependent on your response. What your response to it will be. The first way to respond to any teaching of God's word is to first receive that teaching as the very word of God. First of all, you must receive it as the very word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So you must receive it as the word of God. What that means is that as I'm sharing this words with you, don't see it like pastor said. See it as God is talking. Every time you know you want to hear God's word, imagine that God is sitting before you and you are sitting before him and he's talking to you. Now, if you have that mindset, it will affect everything. It will affect how you sit down. It will even affect how you yawn. It will affect whether you sleep or not. Because the point is, when we hear God's word, we think, ah, pastor, so for a perfect example, this pastor is preaching too long. You are still seeing it as the word of man. Are you know what I'm saying? These guys received it as it is into the word of God. Look at that. When you receive the word of God, which you heard of us. So, in this case, it was man that preached. But they took it as though it is God talking, because indeed it was God talking to them. So I always ask people when I teach, if one day we are in church like this, and suddenly we are all seated, and you begin to hear a voice from heaven, my people, all of us are going to hear together, I want you to know that I love you. Now, imagine that begins to come. How are you going to respond to that? Will you sleep off while that is happening? Will you talk to your neighbor when that is happening? You'll be in awe, right? Imagine that. And normally in Nigerian movies, it comes with echoes. My people. I want you to know, all of us. Imagine, I always play that picture in my head, and that shows you how you are to respond when God's word is coming. Because you see, now, this is what I'm going to tell you is going to shock you. But you see, when we all have that kind of corporate vision and hear that corporate voice, it's a beautiful experience. But that in your head is not more powerful and more potent than this thing I'm saying now. Because the ultimate way God communicates his word is through people. In fact, that one that you are hearing, my people, can be corrupted. Because any devil can talk to you and you think he's God. And you still hear it like, my people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's something you must carry your head. That whenever God's word is coming, it is God talking to me. And sometimes if you really take it like that, sometimes it really feels like God is talking to you. Have you ever been listening to God's word? And at times, it's like pastor is saying exactly what you talked about yesterday. Sometimes, once you finish discussing with somebody this morning, he will just start saying it exactly. You know, something happened on Thursday. Glory to God. I just remember this now. I've not even said anything to the guy. You remember, why here on Thursday? Towards the end of service, I was talking jokingly and I said, remove that chicken from your mouth. Do you remember that? And then I spoke again. I said, should I go further? He said, you wearing a green shirt. Do you remember that? You know, there's a brother following this meeting online. Now, he actually sent me even his picture. He showed me with the green clothes. He was following online. And then he said, service was ending. He was like, let him just eat quickly. Because he has somewhere to go to. Service was already ending. He followed well. But then when he started eating, he said he had chicken drumstick. I said, remove that chicken from your mouth. I said he thought it was a coincidence. And I said, you are wearing a green shirt. Say he dropped it immediately. And that's why I'm telling, personally, when I started talking at first, when I said remove that chicken, I was actually joking. But when I gave that, I knew I was talking to somebody, so I just knew it was a green person wearing a green shirt. And that's why I had to say, please, explain before you give somebody low self-esteem. But you know, sometimes you can sit under God's word, it's like God is seeing you. It's like he's seeing your heart. It's like sometimes you're wondering who is telling pastor all these things that he's saying. And that's why you cannot take the teaching of the word of God as though pastor is talking. It is God's word coming to you directly. Directly. So you must treat it. Every time you want to hear God's word, sit down as though God is about to talk to me now. Sit down. Pick your notes. Act as though God is sitting before you and he's talking. Treat it as though it's the word of God, because that's actually what it is. Never receive it as though brother is about to talk to me. You want, after this class, this message this morning, after service, when you have your PGTI classes, right? Now, don't treat it like, you know, it's me, does your mother teach me PGTI? She just do fast, let me go. God is talking to you. Every time you sit under the influence of God's word, it is God talking to you. And if you are wise enough, you will know that you should actually value every opportunity you have to hear God's word. Because in reality, it is God talking. God can reach you that time just as he can also reach you with visions. Are you getting the point? And I've kept teaching you this, how that even though visions are powerful, God relies more on the words of his servants when he wants to teach his people. And a perfect example of that is Acts chapter 10. How that Cornelius had a vision. And in that vision, he saw an angel. And yet, what did the angel say to him? The angel said, send for Peter. Let him come and teach you. That angel could not even teach him. God has asked him to send for Peter. Because God trusted Peter's teaching ministry more than the angel's teaching ministry. Are you following what I'm talking about? God trusted the teaching ministry of Peter more than whatever the angel was going to say. And it's a pattern you see throughout the scriptures. How that men are the medium for communicating God's word. And so when you hear God's word being taught, you must receive it and treat it first of all as though it is God's word, because indeed it is God's word. Are you following me? So every time we say it's time for the teaching of the word, do not think pastor is about to talk. Imagine that God is talking. You know, NLT said, therefore we never stop thanking God that when you receive this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. But this is where the problem is. Many people think of God's word as pastor's idea. Why did pastor preach with my name? Why did he preach with my situation? If you keep seeing God's word as human ideas, I feel what I'm talking about. Why did he preach with my case? So I shared a problem with him. Oh, because he saw that picture that I was wearing short skirt on Facebook and I started preaching. Oh, because he saw me in church, he started talking about Yahoo boys, because I look like a Yahoo boy, right? You are still seeing it as human ideas. You are still seeing it as pastor is thinking of what to say. Are you following me? Because somebody told pastor that I was talking to a girl on Friday. That's why pastor is talking about relationship this morning. This man mean me this morning. No. No, sir. Are you following me? Look at that again. You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. That's NLT. You didn't think of it as mere. It wasn't just what we thought of in our head. Mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God. Which of course it is. And if actually you've taught God's word, if you ever preached or taught God's word, it gets to a time in the teaching that you say things you didn't plan to say. Does it happen to you? And that tells you that actually, if you yield yourself to the Spirit of God when you are teaching, God takes over your vocal cords. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I was telling my wife on Thursday, the pastoral ministry is such an interesting one that we flow in word of knowledge jokingly. I mean, as I'm teaching now, let me say this to you. Almost every example I give in church here, I'm telling someone's story exactly. No, I didn't say a type of somebody's story exactly with the details. Because God will take over your vocal cords that you begin to say things you never even knew are serious. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you still here? And so never respond to what you are hearing now as pastor said. Yes, it's pastor saying. But there is another influence that has taken over his vocal cords. And so you must sit down this morning and every time you study God's word, as though God is about to talk to me. I know, for real, when you begin to reason like this, you will stop complaining that the service is long. The day I thought about this, you stop complaining that the message is too long. Because, for real, if God appears to you in your parlor and wants to talk to you, would you want him to leave quickly? Huh? Will I ask him to hurry up? Say, hello, Jesus, be fast. I have somewhere I'm going to. You will ask him to stay. When Peter and the rest had an encounter, they said, let us make three tents. One for Peter, one for Jesus. One for Elijah, one for Moses. They didn't want to make for themselves. We can sleep outside. We just want this presence, this encounter to continue. Now, if you're going to value every moment in God's word like that, you should actually never be satisfied. Even when we say we have stopped, you should be hungry for more. Because God is talking to me. And so you must treat it as though God is got the very word of God. Again, we are looking at it. Why does God's word not work in people's life? This is the problem. Because for instance, talk about the prophetic. I'm talking now what I say, by this time next week, this will happen. Somebody just say, amen, no. Whenever you hear that, imagine that we were praying here and you heard a voice from heaven shouting, by this time next week. How you respond to that is the way you're supposed to respond to every prophetic word that we give here. Because it is God talking to you. So if I tell you your life has changed, then your life has changed. Because I'm not saying it because I like you. Sometimes I don't even like you. But it's the word of God I have to speak. Are you following me? Sometimes I don't like you. That's not what I want to say. But sometimes I don't feel good about you. Sometimes I'm coming to church and just standing here, I'm seeing 30 things that are not working well. So somewhere in my heart, I have a rebuke for the ministers. I have a rebuke for the choir after service. I have a rebuke for the pastors. I have a rebuke all in my heart before I climb the stage. So it's not that I'm feeling so good. That's why I tell you your life is going to change. It's not about my feeling. God takes over your vocal cords. You say what he wants you to say. And so he never treats those words as though it is man talking. Receive it as word of God. That's the first thing. Number two, receive the word of God with meekness. With meekness. With meekness. This talks about the state of your heart. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. What that means is to have a humble attitude towards the word of God. Now, what that simply means is that when you hear God's word, you are not fighting with it. Because there are some things you are going to hear with God's word that you will not like. And that's one thing God's word does. It comes to challenge your ideologies. It comes to challenge your thinking. It comes to challenge your mindset. So there are things you will hear that you will not like. But how do you respond? With meekness. You must be humble to God's word because God's word will never adjust to your standard. You are the one that have to adjust to its standards. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you still in church this morning? So with meekness, that's James chapter 1. If you read that verse with the New Living Translation, he says, so get rid of all filth and evil in your life and humbly accept the word of God. Humbly. You know, one of the things that, you know, as a way of digressing, one of the things that sometimes I stand here and I see people that will never be blessed, even no matter what happens in this service, because some people are too proud towards God's word. Too proud. Let me teach you something. Every time you come into church, drop your pride. If you don't drop your pride, go home. You know, you'll not be blessed. Some of you sit in church as though you own the whole world, where you own nothing. With your shoulders high. Drop your shoulder when you enter church. Are you what I'm saying? When they say jump, stand up and jump. You're not better than anybody. The reason I was saying it jokingly to, you know, the people in the house. And I told them, the thing about our church is, because of the structure, the attitude we have built, when you come in here, you cannot really predict who has money and who doesn't have money. Some of the richest people you see around in this church are the ones that receive the rebuke. Stop doing that. They say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You think they don't have anything? Why were you late? Stand up there. God bless his hours. They're praying. You think they're broke. So the fact that all of us are walking up and doesn't mean you're better than any of us. I'm just saying, I should tell you. You might be the most broke. That sincerely, this is not an insult. Just that you don't know. Because we're not a church that we don't put rich people in front. Do you understand? I put poor people at the back. Everybody just the same, just laughing. Nobody carries himself, especially. That always makes people think that's something. So you see them, they come to church,
I say, shout. Because all of us are shouting, kneeling down. Somebody rushes to the altar, kneels down, pastor is laying hands. You say, ah, what are all those guys doing? What do you think you are? What do you think you are? If we start talking about money, you won't even stand, you won't come third yet. And that's the truth for many people. You must receive also with humility, humble, meekness. With meekness. I see people that sit in church very proudly. I see them mostly when we have national, when we have big meetings. I'm in stage, I'm wondering, what do this one have? As soon as I can tell you, I don't say this all the time, but so that's in stage, on the stage, I'm already browsing through their life while I'm standing on the stage. Seeing their problem, their lack, their foolishness, the curses upon their life. Sincerely. And I just feel pity. Yorubas will say, how does that in? Oh, my shield. It's all like that. I say, oh, hey. It's a pity. And for real, I'm standing here, I'm just looking at them. They're just carrying themselves. They say, lift your hands. You do lift your hands very well. So that God will see your hand. All the problems that you are passing through, I see this in your hands once more. No, for real. I feel this way sometimes on stage, literally. But I'm standing here, God has given me sight. And I don't say it all the time, but God has made a very strong sight. But I'm just looking at their life. I see the problem, I see the challenge, I see how they're about to die. And yes, the person, it's just like sometimes they pass, I'm leading prayer here sometimes, and I say, pray. So that's I'm saying pray, and I tell you sincerely that sometimes there are 2-3 people why I'm still elongating that prayer, because I'm seeing what the devil has orchestrated in their future. Yes. So I'm still elongating, saying, please pray some more, because I want them to pick up and start praying. That the ones that will just sit around and be claiming that are pressing their phone. The people that don't have problem are praying. That the people that are about to die are shutting their mouth because they're proud. And it's one thing that you do not bring into the church. Every time you walk into the church. This is not about service in church, but I've gone to churches. You know, one of the meetings we went to some years ago, a very top minister in this state, who is also a barrister, she was there as an usher. We saw people, as in doctors, serving the choir, lying down, rolling on the floor. I'm not joking. I mean, bank managers. Some of them were in the choir. In fact, when we came to that program, the program outline they gave us, they wrote it there. They said, please respect the ushers and even the toilet cleaners. Some of them are making heavy sacrifices to do the things. They are not really small. The way they wrote to tell us that these people are not small, and they were not really small. There was a toilet department because it was a big facility that had a lot of toilets. I saw people. So that you don't know who they are, I just see them. After some time, you go, you pick up newspaper, you see the same faces. I'm not joking. Same faces. Some of them were general overseers of ministry. And they were there. Humble hearts towards God's word. Towards God's service. But there is someone who is not anything. And who will not become anything. People that you are so sure. Now, for real, some people will not become anything. Because you look at how they are packaging their life, you know they are not going anywhere. Not just about the church. Every time you enter any church, except you don't want to be there, humble yourself. You are not better than anybody. Did I say it to our people here? You go to a church where they say everybody must cover their hair. Cover your hair. You are not better than them. Now, if you're not going to cover your hair, get out of that church. Humble yourself. Don't carry a proud attitude into church. That's why I got offended when some years ago that video trended where someone came to church and was putting on, a guy came to church and was on earrings. It was a wedding. And the pastor said, I think it was the best man or something. The pastor said, you cannot be a best man in this church if you don't remove that earring. And he got angry and began to make video. I said, if it's me, you will never enter that church compound. But who are you better than? Is that even the original earring? Is it gold? Buy things from our book here and come and wear it in your ear. And said, should remove it and still putting it on. Humble yourself. Say amen. Now, am I saying that wearing earring as a guy is bad? No. Am I saying it is good? No. I'm only saying, if they say you should not wear, remove it. I get what I'm saying. I'm not saying anyone. I'm only saying humble yourself. You are not better than any human being. And that's one attitude you must carry whenever God's word is coming. When you come around church, calm down. Calm down. Calm down. If that we are shouting does not mean you have the biggest problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we shout the loudest amen doesn't mean our problem is bigger than everybody's own. We just know how to respond to the word of God. And that's why there are people that are not candidates for God's blessing. God himself said, God resists the proud. I know what I'm talking about. If you become proud, you put yourself in a spot where God himself will resist you. Now, that's a strong one. I feel what I'm saying. God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. More grace to the humble. There are people, no matter how you play song in church, they can never dance. Not because they cannot dance, not because they are shy, but they are not called out for those things. But see them at a wedding ceremony, see them at a nightclub, and they dance with everything about. Who do you think you are better than? Not even dance their music. You dance to club music, don't dance to our music. Keep your dance. God doesn't even accept your dance. That's what you don't know. Nobody has told you the truth. Let me be the first to tell you. God doesn't accept all those dance because they're dancing in the flesh. You must humble yourself. Receive God's word humbly. Glory to God. Humbly. Humbly. Amen. Humbly. Glory to God. We came with Cain this morning. But be humble towards God's word for real. Not just in this church, or anywhere. Once the word of God is being taught. So what if you don't agree with what they're teaching? Humbly leave the place. Yeah, simple as I hear them. They're teaching rubbish. Okay, just humbly get up and leave the place. But you can't be there and you're carrying. Because the problem is you're spreading that virus around the church. Humbly respond to the word. So that's the second thing. You must receive the word humbly. With meekness. With meekness. Thirdly, this is very important. Receive the word with every focus. And this, I want to say this very seriously. With every focus. One of the things that will make God's word not to work in your life. No, scratch that. One of the things that will make you not even receive God's word at all is if you're not very focused. Listen, I'm saying many things this morning. Your level of focus will determine how much you can grab. In that Acts 14 that we saw on Thursday, how did Paul know? That's Acts 14, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 8, Paul was preaching. And Paul looked at that man and perceived that he had faith to be healed. How? He saw how the man was listening to him. The man was listening with every attention. So that focus the man gave to his teaching in verse 9, Paul saw it as faith. Paul beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. When the word of God is being taught, it's not a time to be on your phone, to be on whatever. Be focused. You must bring your focus to church. That's why you cut off distractions. That again is why we say that your phone is not the best thing to use as Bible. Because it can be very distracting because a text message could come in, WhatsApp could come. I get what I'm talking about. And no matter how you try to, not be distracted, you will open it to see what is happening and then close it again. All focus is needed. Are you following me? We're looking at it on Thursday. He said, take it to how you hear. Do you remember that scripture? Take it to how you hear. So that is a how to hear. And the how to hear is with all focus. When I'm teaching the word, you must be looking at me like you want to swallow me. That's what I'm saying. When the word of God is coming, you must be looking like, say the next word, I want to pick it. You know that kind of rapt attention. Have you ever been conversing with someone and the person is listening very well? You used to feel it. That's the kind of attention, that focus. When the person, let me tell you, every good teacher knows this. When you are teaching and someone is distracted, stay focused. No matter what happens in church, stay focused. And I say this, and it's time to talk to media people, technical guys, and all of these people that are in service teams. Find a way to keep your focus no matter what you are doing. Do not be an abuelo in church. You know all these abuelos at the park. What they do is they want to, you go to park now, you want to go to Lagos. And they're shouting, Lagos, 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 Lagos. And Ojoele, no, beggar, 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 Vestak. They're shouting. The thing is, they themselves have never been there. But they will aid people going there. Don't be someone that will aid people to go get their blessing and you'll never get there. What was it that Jesus commended Mary for? Jesus was teaching. I feel what I'm saying. Jesus was teaching. Mary sat at his feet. Martha was busy. She wasn't in a bath. She wasn't committing sin. She was busy preparing food for Jesus to eat. That would be a worthwhile venture. But Jesus said unto, you know, at the time he came and told Jesus, Master, tell my sister to come and join me in the kitchen. It doesn't make sense. Proper home training is that when we are cooking, you should be in the kitchen. And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, you are encumbered about so many things. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that. And to not be taken from her. What is that needful thing? That attention she was paying to the world. So was cooking wrong? No. Why was the food not prepared earlier? Nothing can replace paying attention. So even if you are in the media, you are everywhere, please do not remove your attention and focus from God's word. Because the kind of attention you give to the world, as an usher, don't be so concerned about where people will sit and where they will stand that you miss out of God's word. The kind of attention and focus you give to God's word will determine how much virtue you can draw from it. And that's why sometimes people, that's why you see that scripture that we read. That is 100-fold, that is 60-fold, that is 30-fold. Sometimes people, all they were able to get from a service is 30-fold. Sometimes they just got 10. Some just got 7. Because that's all they heard. You know that you can hear me, doesn't mean you are hearing me. These words can be flying over your head. Have you not observed that sometimes after service, you go back and play the message, and then you ask yourself, when did pastor say this one? Does it happen to you? If I sometimes, at the close of service now, we say, share with your neighbor what blessed you the most. Sometimes your neighbor is sharing something with you, and you're wondering, did they say this one in church today? But they said it. But maybe at that time, and I'm praying for you, that when your word will come, you'll not be distracted. Because sometimes for real, people get distracted when their word, because it might just be a sentence that will change your life in that meeting. And when that sentence is coming, that's when someone just tapped there at the back to say, do you have 2 Bible? And it just passed. I know what I'm saying. You must keep your focus. Pay attention. That's why as you prepare for service, ask yourself, what can distract me today in church? Take charge of that. Take charge of that. If there is someone by your side distracting you, next time, don't sit beside the person. Don't sit beside the person. Is there someone like that? Distracting you. That wants, who is the person? Now, that's why I say things like, when we say funny things, laugh. If you don't laugh, it's not a good response. Laugh. But once I start talking, stop the laughter. Now, I'm just saying, so that you will not still be, you know, so people, we have cracked the joke, they've laughed, we've moved on. That's it, discussing the joke with their neighbor. Message is ongoing. Stay focused. You know, Proverbs chapter 4, let me show you this. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. This basic spiritual home training. It will help you get blessed in any service you go to. In fact, I've sat in meetings where the man of God was not teaching things that were totally scripturally correct, but I still got blessed. That is what I brought to the meeting. The way I will stay focused, I'll be able to hear things he's not saying. Proverbs 4 verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Attend to them. Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, give every attention to my sayings. In other words, do not treat my words as though they are just mere words. Pay attention. Are you following me? New Living Translation of that verse, Proverbs 4 verse 20. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. So that is careful listening. That is attention. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. We will see that other part of this verse, of this story that we're going to see. Because verse 21, we're going to look at that, but not today. Verse 21, he said, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Now, this is what you do with the word when you get home. We'll look at that much later. But it starts by paying careful attention. Because do you know where this scripture is going to? It's going to verse 22 and 23. They are alive to those who find them, and health to their flesh. So before the word of God can become health to your flesh, before it can bring healing to you, you start from verse 20. Pay attention. Listen carefully. The word you did not catch cannot heal you. And that's why you must pay attention. Don't just jump to verse 22 and say, the word of God is health to my flesh. Pay attention to it when it's being taught. Keep your focus. And there are people that come to this church, you know, new people that come. As soon as I tell my ministers, go talk to that guy. You know, there are people that they do not know how to sit down for 30 minutes. They must stand up and walk around and go get something outside and come back. Sometimes no reason. Why is it when you are in church that calls keep coming in? Switch off your phone. Give the maximum attention. Sir, what if I miss an important call? When you enter to write an exam for 4 hours, don't you switch off your phone? What if you miss an important call that time? You don't think about it. Are you following me? You wrote jam, baby. When we wrote jam, jam was 4 hours. We shade. 4 hours. When you are coming, you switch off your phone. If you don't even enter with your phone. You drop your phone outside. That time we're not bothered about missing an important call. Every call can wait. I'm writing an exam. Some of that write professional exams. You know, some medical students, law students, all of that. There are exams that you write. Sometimes those exams can last for 5 hours. And you are standing in the hall. You're not bothered about missing any call. But in church, you have to turn on your data in case a business deal eludes you. Every business deal can actually wait. Stay focused. Because things can pass you by while you're in church. Things can pass you by. So pay attention. Listen to the word with every focus that you have. Don't get distracted. You know, one of the things I said in my notes, I said, this helps you to hear what God is saying directly to you. Because we are speaking, but there are specific points in this message that you know that this one is for me. And you cannot hear that. You don't have all the focus. Let me even say to you, when you listen with focus, it helps you to hear other things that the preacher is not saying, or to interpret things in certain ways that the preacher did not explain it. Focus. It keeps in a place where God can talk to you. And I always share this story all the time when I teach on things like this. Many years ago, Brother Hagin was ministering in a program in their camp meeting. And Kenneth Copeland was seated in front many years ago, just like in a pastor session, seated and watching. And then he said in the course of the message, the Lord said to him, kneel down now. Kneel down now. How are you able to hear God when the message is going on? Because you are focused. I get to the point. You can't possibly get that when you are trying to check what's on your phone. That's why I feel that social media is good, technology is good, but it has done a lot of harm to many Christians. Because it has brought more distractions. It has brought more distractions. When there was no phone, there was no technology. What is distracting you in church? You're not even checking WhatsApp. You are just there. And I was telling someone that, to an extent, social media, phone, technology is good. But it made us more faithless. You know those days when people travel from your house? You just believe that I've reached. Right? But now if they travel, I don't know, they didn't call you for till the next day. You're running helter skelter. Are we sure they are fine? It has actually made us more faithless. When I'm thinking about it, those days, if your child travels to school, you just believe he has reached. He's there. Glory to God. Well, now he travels to school and he doesn't call you. Something must be wrong. And indeed, something is wrong. He should call. Now, I'm talking about technology is good, but it has messed a lot of things up. Even in church. So, Ketakin was preaching and God told Brother Kopla, kneel down now. If you are not focused in service, you cannot hear that. Can't hear it. And he was hesitant and the Lord kept saying, kneel down now. And he was wondering, everybody seated calmly, listening to God's word. I'm coming to that very shortly. How can I just kneel down where everybody's sitting down calmly? And he just said, kneel down. And eventually he said, okay, he just obeyed. And he knelt down. Immediately he knelt down, but Hagin just blotted out. He said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Because God already showed him where Brother Copeland was kneeling down with the service and where he put hands on him and launched him into his prophetic ministry, which is where he stands till today. I get the point. So he just said, yes, Lord, I just walked up to him and put hands on him. And that was his moment. Now, God's word was coming. He heard it. That time, Brother Hagin was not saying kneel down, but God was talking to him while the message was going on. That's why if you listen to God's word well, as you are taking down notes, there is also another session where you are taking down things that God is telling you. Does it happen to you? As you are taking down what I'm saying, there's another place where you are writing down what God is telling you. Every program I attend, I have a note on my tab where I write down things that we're going to do, things, because as the word of God is coming, sometimes it's the casual story that a man of God tells, and God says, take note of that. I follow what I'm saying. That's why I must listen with focus. Stop walking around in service. It's not spiritual home training. You're not well trained. Stop talking. Stop losing your moments. Because I can tell you sincerely, there are people's moments. I used to share this story with you many times of how I was going to minister in a meeting, and God told me specifically, this lady in this meeting, you're going to put this on her, and this and that will happen to her. And when that meeting arrived, the lady was in the program. When it was time to lay hands on her, I knew it was time. And I looked around and I saw her. But she wasn't in the meeting. She was there, she wasn't there. So I didn't do it. The Lord said, well, she can't receive it now. Because she was there, but she was doing many other things. She was there, but she wasn't there. You know the problem? The good thing is, very sensitive lady, she told me after the meeting that the Lord actually showed me when we were praying for this program that you're going to lay hands on me in this meeting. I said, yes, I saw it too. But when the time came, you were encumbered with so many things. Are you following me? Stay focused. God's house has order. It's not a place where you do anything you like, stand up and move around anywhere, anyhow you like. Take calls carelessly. That's why as a ministry, one of the jobs of the church is to reduce distraction in church. Yeah. We reduce distraction in church. There are many reasons. So for instance, you notice as the word of God is coming, all these lights are steady. You know, I was talking to you 2 weeks ago about intentional pastoring. Yeah. All the lights are not moving when the word of God is coming because they can be distracting. Like everything you see here is intentional. How we arrange all this intentional, because we want to reduce distraction. That's why, you know, as a way of digressing, as a sister, as a brother coming to church, you don't dress in a way that you make distraction to your neighbor. That's another thing. That as the brother is listening to God, so he's not looking at your laps too and getting distracted. He say, "Ah, can't he focus on the?" He cannot focus. Help him focus. Are you following me? You don't like that one. Let me say it again. Because you don't like it. Help him focus. Don't dress in a way that would distract your neighbor. Don't dress in a way. And don't be, apart from dressing, don't be a distraction. Don't be a distraction. There are some people that are so restless. Have you sat around restless people? They are so restless, they're wondering, you are even distracted sitting around them. Don't be like that. Stay in a very composed way and keep your entire focus. God has a word for you. Amen. Number what now? Number 4, you receive the word with faith in your heart and in your actions. Faith in your heart, faith in your actions. Whenever you come to God's house, come with faith. And it must be seen in your heart, but it will be seen in your action. Why do we shout amen when the man of God blesses us? It's because we believe that what he's saying will happen. That is faith in action. I get what I'm saying now. Why do we raise our hands when they want to lay hands on us? We believe that this man is going to bless us. It's faith in action. You must come with faith in your heart and faith in action. You know, that again, Acts 14, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Paul, looking at that man, perceived that he had faith to be healed. So Paul saw, you know, I read this verse all the time. He perceived. Now listen, when you read, King James said perceived, you will now think it was a spiritual thing. Maybe God told Paul, that man has faith. But that wasn't the case. If you check out the translations like NLT, the perception there is natural perception. Paul realized. That's what NLT said. So it tells you there was something about that man's composure and what he was doing that showed faith. Maybe how he was shouting, yes! Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Faith can be seen. Faith can be observed. When King James said he perceived. You see, Message said he saw that he was ripe for God's work. He saw. So it wasn't like in the spirit. Of course, sometimes you can see the spirit, but in this case, he just saw. A man who has never walked from his mother's womb. But he heard Paul preach. And please go back to verse 7. I'm talking about faith. Verse 7. What was Paul preaching in Lystra? He was preaching the gospel. The gospel. Very important. So it wasn't necessarily a healing campaign. He was preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? The fact of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then his ascension. He was preaching forgiveness of sin. He was preaching salvation. He was just preaching. So he wasn't there to heal, per se. But the way the guy was paying attention, soaking in every word, the way he was paying attention, the way he was acting, Paul realized that, faith did this guy body. And Paul commanded him to stand up. And he stood up. You know, there's a big difference between this miracle and the miracle of Acts 3. See verse 10. Miracle of Acts 3, you know, the guy, when Peter said, rise and walk and all of that, Peter had to give him his hand to pick him up. But look at this guy. Paul called him in a loud voice, stand up, and the man jumped. Ay, ay, ay. This one was already in faith. He was just waiting for Paul to talk. The miracle of Acts 3, Peter said, stand up. The man was telling Peter took him by his hand, stood him up, said, yeah, walk. I began to walk. Still a good miracle. He showed Peter's experience in the working of miracles. But this one, faith had filled his heart. So immediately Paul said, stand. Bible said he jumped. Glory to God. Paul said, stand. The man jumped. Because he was paying attention with faith. Faith can be seen, oh. Faith can be seen, expectation. Now, be that person that will come with faith. Let it be seen in your heart. Let it be seen in your actions. The way you pay attention. The way you celebrate. You know, you look at it and say, you know, sometimes you just look at people and say, you know, I'll tell you what, by this time next week, you would have, your life would have changed. The people that have faith, you will see. Some of them will be celebrating. And sometimes you see some of us celebrate, you wonder, is not this one thing that pastor said? Some came with faith, some just came. I'm just kidding. Hannah went to the temple to pray so that she can have a child. And Eli came to her and said, by this time. First of all, Eli insulted her. Eli said, how can you be drunk by this time of the morning? And that was enough to get her angry. I'm talking about responding to God's word. But that was enough to get her angry. Say, how can you say I'm drunk? How can you say I'm drunk? So you're even a man of God. I cannot decipher people who are drunk and who is not drunk. You cannot even know when we are praying. I'm here praying. No wonder God has left you. Because at that time, God has left Eli. But he said, your handmaiden is not drunk as you're supposed to. You know. And he said, by this time next year. What did Hannah do? Hannah stopped the prayer and went and started eating. And was no more sad. That one struck me. She was no more sad. Because has she carried her baby? No. But by this time next year, she took it with faith. Take every word with faith. By this time next year, that was enough. She stopped being sad. So you can imagine, you remember the story here? Elkanah was on the, was it Elkanah? And Penina, right? They were on the table, and she was sad because the husband was trying to take care of her. You know, I love you now. She said, I'm angry. So she left. She cried out of the table and went to pray. Imagine when she'll be coming back. She'll be coming back smiling. Penina will be playing on her card. She'll just be smiling. Smiling, smiling. But now you say you are childless, you just smile. You know, what's now the joy? The man of God said by this time next year. That's how to receive God's word. You see again why it doesn't work for some people. There is someone that would have heard by this time next year, okay, by that time next year, she will be more barren. Now, is it that Eli's word failed? No. It was about how she received it. You receive every word with faith. And I tell you, if you don't know it, God's word changes people here. Because I've seen people talking about, because if I talk about changing people and talk about their spiritual growth, you might, that one may not make sense to you because you're a carnal person. But I'm talking about practical change, even financially. Just by the spoken word. And the thing is, sometimes when people testify, you will be also in that service. But nothing happened to you. Because the word came, you took it as, our pastor is just, is gingering us. Making service hot. You are blessed. Amen. This man, they preach fire. I'm not preaching fire. I'm blessing you. You know, I don't, and I was telling my wife this recently, that was on that, I don't actually come to stage and plan to make the place hot. Some people have that kind of intention. See, service go hot today. You'll be walking in the flesh. And you'll be shouting unnecessarily. Yeah! Yo! That's where nonsense shout doesn't change. I don't have any intention to make you happy. You've seen me come to this stage and preach very quietly and finish preaching, I carry Bible and go. That's what God wants me to do that day. And I leave the stage. So whenever I start blessing you, I'm not trying to excite you. I'm not trying to ginger the atmosphere. This is not a nightclub. And that's what many men of God are doing. They try to ginger the atmosphere. When they can't, they now have hype man. You know what is now have hype man in church? That is the height of carnality. I don't care who is doing that. I have nothing against them. I say it's the height of carnality. So I'm preaching. Somebody else is carrying mic. Saying, yeah. Yes, sir. They are trying to hype me. Or hype the church. We are hyped up already. Being all drunk without wearing his SS. But being filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Glory! We are so hyped up. We are so hyped. I'm very hyped up. I can rejoice at any minute. Do you want to rejoice now? Glory! 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 No hype man can turn a service like that. Only the Holy Ghost. You know this hype man? No, he came from club, so. That club being, somebody shouting, raise him. Even, do you know, this thing has entered even praise. Praise in church. I say it's carnality. That singing, somebody's behind saying, raise him. What is all of that in church? What are you trying to do? Don't raise nothing. The songs you sing should be enough to hype people up. If it doesn't hype them, they should stay. Don't raise anything. Yes, I know that's the kind of praise raining now. You know me. I'm that ancient. I don't like it. I can play it if I just want to dance. It's not praise. Not that music is good. Some there's music that is good for your wedding. It can make it to your wedding. Play it in the wedding. Some things you make it to your wedding. Some things you make it to a birthday party. Christian birthday party. But some things you never make it to the church. Inside this place, they are raising them. Raise them. So what did I do in the club? He said, oh, this is our own club. If we cannot go to the club, we club here. Don't club at all. That's what I'm saying. They don't cannot go to the club. Don't club nothing. Say, this is our own club. This is not a club. People don't even know what they are saying. God's sanctuary. You are lucky. You know, it's the Old Testament. I used to fear God. Just one hand will come from the Ark of Covenant on your. You know, Ark of Covenant, there are two cherubs. One of them will just raise his hand and wipe your slap. This is a holy ground. It's a holy ground. Sit down, sit down. I used to imagine nonsense in my head. I used to imagine just one angel just raise his hand. Just shut your mouth that moment. Pray that they don't send the same angel they sent to Zachariah to you. You know that angel I went to Zachariah? Gabriel. He said, by this time, they say, I have a child. He said, how can I? He said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of the Lord. Now, I say, how? What is how? I'm telling you, I'm going to give it a child. You will not speak again. Pray that they don't send that angel to you because he's a no-nonsense angel. I say, oh God, please. Glory to God. You know, I taught you last year on reverence. Learn to reverence God. You know, that's a digression. I'm just saying, I don't come just try to hype people up. A pastor shouldn't do that. When you want to lead prayer and I say, let it be intense. I did not say, come and start shouting. What makes prayer intense is utterance. The things you say when you're leading the prayer, not the shout you're shouting. What makes praise and worship intense? Of course, there is skill and all of that, so I don't play nonsense. But then what makes it intense is the song you are singing, the quality of the song, the lyrics of the song. That's what makes it intense. So when you're in church and I'm blessing you, I'm not trying to ginger the atmosphere. I'm not trying to make this place so hot. That's not my intention. Any day I begin to do that, God leaves the church and I start doing my thing. I'm telling you, when one particular year they brought some men to come and pray in our house, I extended their family. And first I noticed about those guys, they were so much in a hurry to make the place so hot. Suddenly they gave them mic. The person said, hi. Kagalo, kagalo, kagalo. I said, hey, calm down. Start small, small so that we can catch up with you. This is a council for ministers. Don't be under pressure to make the place lively. If God has given you a word, that word can blow up that place. Look at, you see older ministers like Pastor Deboye. They don't preach calmly because that's how they preach. They're just older. If you look at Pastor Deboye's earlier tapes, he was actually more. But even at this age, the man is in his 80s. So you don't expect to be jumping around like me. So it speaks very calmly. Yes, atmosphere is tense with the presence of God. It's not about shouting. You get the point? The man just says it. He just said, Daddy just said that there are 14 people here. And you see incredible miracles. And if you are doubting the miracles, then why are the people there? Do you know the kind of crowd that gathers there, even as I'm talking now? There is something taking them there very calmly. Now, I'm not saying you should preach calmly. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with shouting. I'm only saying make sure that if you're going to shout when you're preaching, it is coming, you're shouting because the word you're preaching is burning in your heart. And that, as you are responding, that is burning in your heart, that's what's now producing the shout. That's not because you want to charge up the atmosphere. I get what I'm saying. I'm very serious. So, you know, I don't get into praise and worship. We come to a mashup. Because I have to correct everything. Even this, in December, they did a lot of programs, a lot of worship meetings, worship concerts. I just watched. I said, it's crazy. Some even rehearsed tongues. You saw it now. You see Olimi. They rehearsed tongues with their backup. And they were singing. I said, what is this? What is this? What is happening? So, what's on the church? I don't see people are rehearsing tongues. Let Paul catch you. Let Paul catch you. Some things don't make no sense. Make no sense. Don't be under pressure to charge up in atmosphere. Speak calmly, no matter how calm you speak. Let the words come that come and be the very word of God. It can stir up anywhere. It can stir up anywhere. Without mic, without instrument, without anything. And I know it because I've preached in classrooms. So as you are entering those classrooms, if I preach in university classrooms, you are saying, praise God, all of them are just talking. Have you ever preached in classrooms? They are just doing their thing. Carry your trance. As you speak the first, second, third, fourth words, the second person keeps quiet, third person, fourth person, before you know the whole class is calm. It's not by shouting. No amount of shouts can make those students keep quiet. If you shout, they will laugh. If you shout, I keep telling this story. When I went to preach secondary school, when Minister Nana was still in school, what class were you then? SS2? Yeah. I was in their school. The whole school held a meeting and they invited me to preach. Well, two they invited. One guy and then me. I have nothing against the guy. I'm just telling you what happened. So by the time I came, he was sweating. He was sweating. He was shouting. And the more he was shouting, the students were shouting. So teachers were with cane, flogging people, punish, kneel down there. If you stand up, and he was just a crazy place. So I just said, who did I go with? Who was really in that meeting? Are you there? Why are you there? I think, yes, I remember I saw you. I was wearing a suit. With white turtleneck. Is it white or blue? White, yeah, white. But the picture was like this. From that meeting. So, the guy was just, watch what was happening, calm under my breath. And all I was asking the Lord is, give me the word for these people. When I came up the stage, the whole place was so rowdy. And I tell you, people that attend Twitter are here, in less than 1 minute, we arrested. The mic even was, I wasn't working with microphone. A student of a school of over 1,000 people arrested the whole place. People went calm. And I began to preach. No threats, no shouting. I was talking. They were coming closer to hear what I was saying. The power of God broke out in the place. It was such an amazing experience. Such an amazing experience. So people in this church now are products of that meeting. Now I'm saying this to say that when you hear us preach and we are blessing you, we are not trying to make the place hot. We mean every word coming. It is God blessing you. So you take every word with faith. So if you say your life has changed, your life has really changed. It is not because we want to make you happy. It's not because the place is dull and I want to charge it up. I don't come here to charge atmosphere up. We come to speak the very word of God. I must be treated like that. And so when you hear me speak this way, take it. So Paul saw the man and perceived that he had faith. Eli spake unto Hannah, and she left and was no more sad. You see, I'm coming to this later. What will you do with the word that we give you even after the service? That's what the people that work your life or not. If Hannah had left that place and then went back to the table and was still crying and was still consoling her, she actually is not walking in faith because she doesn't believe what Eli said. If you believe what Eli said, you should not be sad again. But she came back, no more sadness. Bring food. You know, she did eat. She left the table. I can imagine she came back and said, where is that papa I left on this table? Bring it. Bring that papa. Bring that meat. Bring this. Say, what has happened? The man of God has said, by this time next year. So you come to church with faith. Every word, take it with faith. And that faith must be seen in your words, in your action, in your thoughts and all of, in your heart and all of that. So show it in words and action. Number 5, right? Of course, still talking about faith, but let me give it as a different point. You receive the word with the right responses. What this means is you must stand when we need to stand. Dance when we need to dance. Shout when we need to shout. Lift your hands when you need to lift your hands. Right responses. Do not become a statue in church. When we are meant to be jumping, you are standing. Like it's 6 p.m. You know 6 p.m.? Just stand like that. Attention. We are not a soldier. Glory to God. That is the right response. Receive the right response. If a man's shouting, shout. If you need to stand, if you need to kneel. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3. Glory to God. Please don't put it up on the screen. Open Nehemiah in your Bible. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3.
Do you have it now? Where do you think Nehemiah is? Where is Ezra? Some of you are going towards to the end of the Old Testament. That's not where it is. That's really right in the middle. You didn't sing that song, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Psalms, Proverbs. Then you now go, Ecclesiastes, Son Solomon, Isaiah. Did you sing that? You missed your children's church. Sorry. That thing is still in my head today. Because we are doing draw your sword. Once they say, open, I just read it in my head. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. You get it. So are you there now? Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 3. Amen. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. I'm reading this to show you that when they wanted to read the word of God, they stood up. Right? In chapter 8 verse 5 of that same Nehemiah, Bible said, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Put that verse on the screen. 8 verse 5. You know, he opened the book, all the people stood up. Ezra opened the book in front of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all of them stood up. So that is the way they responded to the reading of the word. So, in church, that's the right response. They opened the book, let us read, all of them stood up. Now, that's not the time to say, why are they standing? Can't I sit and read the word? Must I stand? You're not receiving the word well. All of them stood up. He just opened the book. They stood up. And it was a pattern in the temple. Once they want to read the word, they stand up. That's why in this church, there are certain words that pastor starts releasing. And you believe this word is for you. You stand. And you don't stand and just what. You stand and you are receiving the word. With your hands lifted, with your shout, you stand. That's the whole idea behind it. Are you getting the point? In 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, Paul said, I wish that men lift holy hands everywhere. He was talking about prayer. And he said when they pray, they should lift their hands. So that is a way to respond to God's word. That is a time to stand. That is a time to sit. That is a time to but let me make it easy for you. There is the corporate flow of the anointing in services. When you notice that everybody in the service is going a particular direction, be wise and go in that direction. If everybody in the service is kneeling, kneel too. It's just proper home training. Because what it means is, God is doing something corporately in the service at that moment. So you must key into it to become part of it. If everybody is lifting their hands, lift your hands too. And not lift your hand casually, lift your hands and begin to key into what is happening. Have the right heart response and attitudinal response towards God's word. When it's time to dance, dance. When we speak certain words, it's time to shout. Shout. Have the right response. And that takes me to the next thing. How to respond to God's word. Respond to God's word with joy. But not just joy. Respond to God's word with joy and every necessary emotion. I have to add that. Because not every word that you receive with joy. Anyway, scratch that. You receive every word with joy. But it's not every word you dance to. When I mean receive every word with joy, even if it is correction, receive the correction with joy. If it is rebuke, receive it with joy. But then, I can't be rebuking you as you are dancing. See, the Bible says you receive the word of God with joy. So I'm saying, why is dressed like that? Woo, glory! Now, at that point, receive the word with joy. But you don't have to react like that. So receive it with joy and respond with the necessary emotion. In Matthew 13 verse 20, when Jesus was explaining that parable of the sower, in verse 20, he said, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So he received the word with joy. With joy simply means that every word that is coming, you receive it joyfully. Now, you may not respond joyfully. Even if I'm correcting you, receive it joyfully. What that means is, don't be bitter because I'm correcting you. Then you respond the necessary way. If we speak what, if we are speaking, oh, God has made you righteous, you rejoice.
You celebrate. The Bible tells us that Jesus rejoiced. And he told them, do not rejoice that demons are subject unto you. He said, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. So when your pastor is preaching and he tells you about the fact that your names are written in heaven, about the fact that you are righteous, Jesus said you should rejoice at it. And that word rejoice there is the word agalio. And agalio does not mean to sit down on your seat. Because some of you are wondering, why is it that when they're just in this church, they're running, they're shouting? That's actually the meaning of the word agalio. It means to make a movement, to make a haphazard movement, to spin. That's another word for that in the Greek. To spin for joy. So it doesn't mean I'm just saying, glory, glory. That's not agalio. When we speak God's word, when we say God has made you righteous, you rejoice and celebrate it. Yeah, you do that. That's the word agalio. It doesn't mean to smile. It means to rejoice. So, always learn to receive God's word with joy. Psalm 119 and verse 162. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that has found great spoils. Have you found great spoil? And this verse is very powerful. Great spoil. Give me like NLT. Please watch. Give me like NLT. New Living Translation. I rejoice in your word. Like one who discovers a great treasure. Imagine you come into your land, a land you just bought last month, and then suddenly they say they discovered gold in the land, or discovered crude oil. That's what he's saying here. Ah. Some of you may not relate to that, but do you know how you rejoice when you are so broke and you pick up your trouser and you discover 1,000? Can you relate? You're just so broke, thinking of what to eat. I pick up one trouser. And you see 250. Some can even send it as testimony to pastor. Say, Dad, I woke up this morning. I was so broke, no food to eat, no garri to drink. And something was saying, wear that blue trouser. And that is saying, wear the black trouser. But I responded, I wore the black trouser. And lo and behold. But for real, you found a great treasure. Because sometimes 200 naira can make all the difference. I may not know the feeling now because I've got past that. But when I was in school, Jesus Christ, there are seasons in your life that if you touch 300 naira in your pocket, God has really done it. Now, the psalmist said, the same way people that discover great treasure act, say, that's how I rejoice when I hear your word. Now, think about that. Because when you actually hear God's word that he has made you righteous, it's a great treasure. Now, you do not rejoice because you do not actually know the value of what you just got. Jesus told them, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What treasure is bigger than your name being written in heaven? What treasure is bigger than knowing that now, if you die now, you cannot miss heaven? What treasure is bigger than knowing that as you are now, God is inside of you? What treasure is bigger than that? Knowing that right now, you have the name of Jesus at your disposal. You can command things. You can move mountains. You can command demons to relocate and they relocate. There's no treasure bigger than that. So when you see us shout, don't say, why are they even making noise? We are not making noise. The same way you react when you find crude oil on your land, that's when we react. When we open the word of God, and we see that our lives have changed. And we see that God has made us righteous. And we see that God has forgiven all our... about cry of repentance. The Bible tells us that godly sorrow leads to repentance. So there are messages that should provoke godly sorrow. There are messages that should produce a repentant heart. Did anything go wrong? Okay. Amen. There are messages like that that should cause you to cry. So every necessary emotion should follow the message. So that we are not teaching on the fact that we have to reorder our lives. We have to make right decisions. Okay? And then that's the time you are shouting. Shouting, glory, glory, glory. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. That's the time you are laughing. There are teachings that come and they call for repentance. And I said this on Thursday, I want to say it again. Let the word of God have the capacity to affect your emotions. Do not be a person that God's word cannot affect his emotions. Let the word of God be able to affect your mood. That even if you are very sad and you hear God's word, it can make you very happy. Even if you are very happy and you come to church and pastor preaches a message that challenges a bad conduct that you have, let the word of God be able to make you readjust. So be vulnerable to the word of God. Let God's word be able to shift your mood. That's what I'm saying. Let it be able to make you sad. Of course, God's word shouldn't make you sad, but it can make you sober. That's what I'm saying. Let God's word be able to make you sober. Let it be able to make you shout. Let it have the power to make you sober and the power to make you rejoice. Do you understand? You know, that's what in David had. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that has found grace, Paul. Yet, when Nathan brought the word to him, you know, when he slept with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, Nathan brought that word of judgment. How did he respond? In repentance. He broke down. That's the right response to the word of God. It's all following me this morning. That's not the time to start saying, must you tell me what to do? The right emotions. Amen. There are atmospheres in meetings, so. There are atmospheres. You know, they were having a meeting somewhere. And the man of God, the great man of God in this country, the meeting was building up. There was this kind of intense presence of God. And he was, you know, at a time, they couldn't close the meeting. Anyone that tries to close the meeting goes down under the power of God. And then, he was like, I don't think God wants us to close yet. Because we can't close this meeting yet. Or if anybody thinks he can close it, he can come and take the mic. And one boy arrogantly stood up and went up to take the mic. People are not sensitive to that. That already tells you he's not even in that flow at all. And they left him. And they took the mic and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, he went violently. Now, he didn't fall under the anointing actually. The power of God struck him down. I'm not sure he didn't wound himself. Like, I'm not telling you. It's a meeting I witnessed to. I'm not telling you stories. Because he wasn't in the program. These men on the stage saying they can't close the meeting. I mean, at the time, these guys were lying on the floor. All of us are lying on the floor. Crying, shouting, intense atmosphere of God's presence. And they say, we can't close. And the guy just woke up. From nowhere. Pick the mic. The whole, all these things. You know, there is reverence for God. If you don't have it, he took the mic and he fell down. What came to my mind is he didn't just fall under the anointing. Some things fell off his life. That's what came to my own mind. Some things fell off his life at that moment. If we are here and all of us are lifting our hands, in that awe, be in that same thing. Let the word of God be able to change your mood. I mean, if you're coming to service on Sunday, on Thursday, for instance, you've had a very bad day, and you come to church, the pastor begins to talk. Let that word be able to change your mood and make you shout. Don't be the person that God's word cannot shake, cannot change how you think. This is how I want to feel this moment, and this is how I'm going to be feeling. If you like, say anything you want to say. We will say, rejoice, rejoice. You see that? I'm depressed. So you can't tell me what to do. I rejoice at thy word. Glory to God. Emotion is coming. Get ready to rejoice at the word of God. Because you're going to find great spoil in immersion. Do you believe? We'll find great spoil. I will find the answer to my problems. I will find the answer to that business plan I've been making. I will find the answer to my spiritual progress in immersion. It is called great spoil. I will find the answer to my health challenge at immersion. I will find the answer to my academic struggle at immersion. I will find the answer to all the struggles. I found great spoil. So when you see me shouting at immersion, I'm finding things. So even this one, as I'm talking, people are finding answers to their problems. As when you find yours, you scream. When you find yours, you rejoice. I found great spoil. Give me this verse in other translations. Amplify Classic also. With joy. And it's just a word as someone who has found great. Okay, finds great spoil. Okay. Another translation. Message. How, okay, GNT said, how happy I am because of my promises. As happy as someone who finds rich treasure. You have message. As happy as someone who has, he said, I'm ecstatic over what you say. Like one who strikes it rich. I mean, when you blow, that's the generation, the parlance now. When you blow, how ecstatic will you be? He said, I'm ecstatic like that. You know, when you get money, there's kind of money that will enter your account. You'll be smiling unnecessarily. I'm telling you. You will feel that joy this year. I'm not joking. It's not Bible joy. You don't mind that be your account. People are just shouting. You're just smiling at them. You're just happy. You're just looking at them. It's fine. People even insult you. Say it. Some of you, the first day, 10 million be lying in your account. You just be trekking for nothing. Just be trekking. Just walking around. Just walk up and down. They say, enter keke. You say, no, don't worry. Let me just be checking and be going. When you strike it rich, it brings joy. I tell you for real. Some of you remember when you possibly paid for your first house. You enter. The kind of joy you feel. You just walk out. You roll on the floor. There is no bed. There is no seat. You're happy. You just roll on the floor. That joy cannot be compared with anything. David said, that's the kind of joy I have when I get your word. Glory to God. You know, when you buy your first car, when you wake up, sometimes you sleep somewhere in the middle of the night, you wake up to check the window to be sure it's still parked outside. I'm not joking, though. You check, it's okay, it's there. Wake up, you just walk around. Sometimes you wake up the next morning, you have nowhere to go. You're thinking of, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Let me just drive it out. And I said, let me go and visit my friend. There is no reason to be there. The ecstasy cannot become. You have that joy this year. I'm serious. Yeah. When you own things, it brings so much joy. You know, when you buy your first land, you just walk around the land, so that they know it's your land. Just walk around, and say, yes, here, the hotel will be here, the place will be here. Just that kind of joy. Glory to God. Oh, buy our own land. We're getting our land, right? Before it's a fact. I'm telling you. Actually. So sometimes you just see me drive to the land. I will come down and walk around. Just so that you'll be seeing. I'll just say, yes, this stage will be here. That joy. Let me leave this. You will feel it this year. I'm praying for you. You will get a long-standing expectation from your heart. Things that you've been praying and crying for, you will find it this year.
And the joy cannot be compared. In the name of Jesus. Stand your feet. Stand. Do you remember? How many of you looked for admission for long? Do you remember the day you get admission? And also one that ran from Ogige Market to his house. He checked it in Cybercaf. It's not now you check it on your phone. Those days you go to Cybercaf and you check it. You run from there. You are shouting to get to your house. Now you are in school. I say school is scam. Please sit down. Do you remember the first day you get, when you get admission? The joy cannot be quantified. Now, some of you will not know what I'm saying. But just finished school, road jam, get admission. Pastor Chidi, road jam, how many years? I know some of my people here. How many years? 5 years. When you check it and get it, sometimes you sit down in the tabak and start crying. I'm telling you. You know that joy. Nothing can be compared. Now, I want you to have that kind of reaction when the word of God comes. And there is something pastor will say like this. You sit down on the floor and start crying. Not because you are regretting. You are so happy. That ecstasy when the word of God comes to you. I found something. I just struck it rich. And if you carry this mindset, if you miss service, you will feel like you missed a major part of your life. Because you know you just missed another opportunity to strike it rich. But when you think service is not the place to waste your time, you can easily refuse to come. We come here to strike it rich. God's word can change. It can change. Imagine someone has been struggling with depression for long and just in one sentence finds the answer to break out from that depression. Nothing compares to that. Nothing compares to that. And so, let the word of God affect your emotions. That's what I'm saying. Let it be able to make you shout. Let it be able to make you cry. Let it be able to make you scream. Let it be able to make you laugh uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. Let it have that capacity. That capacity. That no matter how big you get, if the world is taught to a point that we have to kneel down in total surrender to the Lord, you kneel down and roll in total surrender to the Lord. God's word should have that power. There are people, and this is wrong in our generation. Talking about music again. There are people that music can take them from a place of depression to a place of joy. Nothing is wrong with that. But God's word can never do that to them. There are people that alcohol can take, when they're having a bad day, let me just take one bottle, I'll be fine. But yet, God's word cannot have that ability in them. Something is wrong. As a believer, God's word should have the ability to lift you from your mood. Put your heart in a place that God's word can affect your emotions. And God's word can affect my emotions for real. I said, how do you do it? I told you on Thursday. How you do it? Start by being intentional. When God's word is spoken, even if you don't feel like, deliberately start laughing at the word. When all of us are shouting, shout with us. What you are doing is that you are instructing your heart on how to respond the next time it hears that word. Are you following what I'm saying? When we say, you're righteous in Christ, all of us are shouting. Now, it might not mean much to you. It actually means something. We don't understand it. Start shouting with us. You are instructing your heart that anytime you hear about your relatives in Christ, you must leap for joy. Teach that to your heart. I get the point. Respond like that. And then two more instructions. What else do you do with the word when you come? Or how do you respond to the word? Document God's word. Document God's word. Write it. Are you following me? A major mark of a disciple is that he documents the word. This is why we teach that you must come to church with your notes. But I will show you something in the Bible. You know, our anchor scripture for this year is Isaiah chapter 8, 16 to 18, right? And you know, if you read that Isaiah chapter 8, how did the instruction start? It said, bind the law. Give me that verse. Isaiah 8, verse 16. Not give me, give the church the verse because I have it in my notes, in my Bible. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Bind up. Other translations will say, preserve the law. Preserve the law among my disciples. So the teaching of God's word must be preserved.
Again, that is why there is media team. God said I should talk about this. That's why there is media team. The job of the media team in the church is to preserve the teaching of the word, so that no teaching is lost. Bind up the law, teach the law among my disciples. You know, give me NLT of that verse. New Living Translation. Preserve the teaching of God. And through the instruction of those who follow me, preserve it. In the Old Testament, there were people that we call scribes. Their job is to write the word. That's the job of the media team. To preserve the word for the disciples of this ministry. That's why every church should have a solid media team. And that's why the media team must take their work seriously. Just like what the scribes did in those days. Either they're writing or they're watching, or that either you write it or you preserve it in audio format or whatever, but it must be preserved. Are you following me? Amplify Classic, preserve the law. Amplify Classic, quickly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bind up the testimony, seal the law and the teaching among Isaiah's disciples. So there are teachings that happen here that must be preserved for Pastor Henry's disciples. Do you understand? So that many years to come, we can go back to them. So as a church, we have our own duty to preserve the teaching. That's the job of the scribes. Now, you have your own duty as a believer to preserve every word being spoken. And you do that by documenting it, writing it. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. God was about to speak to Habakkuk and show him visions. What did he tell him first? Write the vision. Make it plain. Now, he didn't say, just know the vision. Write it. Why? God did not trust Habakkuk's memory. So he wanted him to write it. Secondly, God wanted the next generation to benefit from that vision. So he said, write it. So every time you have a vision of God, not just spiritual vision, you have a revelation from God's word, you have a revelation as you sleep, you have a revelation as God opens up something in your spirit, man. Write it and make it plain. That again is why you don't ever enter church without your notes. And please, those notes in your hand, that note in your hand, is not for fancy. It's not because if you don't write now, they will say you are not serious. You are using it to preserve the teaching, to document it for yourself. So Habakkuk 2, he said, write the vision, make it plain. Make it plain. I hate that he read me wrong. And perhaps you think this is just Old Testament. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Revelation 1 and verse 17. And when I saw him, that's John was having a vision. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write. So we have the book of Revelation because John wrote the things that he saw. We have the book of Isaiah because Isaiah documented the teaching. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now, we know about the beatitude. Do you know? Look, you know there are some things you have to pay attention to. When you read the four Gospels, you read about the beatitudes. You see Jesus' teachings and all of that. He said to Nicodemus, he must be born again. Do you know? Some of those books, go and read your history, were written many years after Jesus had died. How come they were still able to record the things that Jesus said? They were taking notes. And I'm going to prove this to you in the Bible. It was a major character of disciples in the Old Testament to document what their master was saying. That's why there is the book of Isaiah, book of all of that, where all those books. They took notes. So we read about Jesus' teachings because some people dare to document them. And that's how we can bless you. And eventually, he's blessing generations to come. I have notes I made from 2013. I have notes from 2012 that are still in my house. And I tell you, my kids are going to read those same notes and get blessed. And I also get blessed by them. There are meetings I attended some years back that I wrote down things, including things that the Lord promised me. I wrote them down. So document the word. Whenever you come to church, come with a writing material. And please don't come with a writing material to fill all righteousness. That's on some of you. You come to church, pastor is teaching along the line. You know, everybody's writing, you're not writing. You just ask for a sheet of paper and you write. I hope you will transfer it to somewhere that you to be safe. Some of you that are using all these small notes, make sure you have a way to preserve everything. So that even, that's why in this church, I recommend that you buy big notes. Yeah. So that years to come, they can last, they can stay. So you can always refer back to them. Because what you are writing life. I get what I'm saying? You are writing the word of God spoken to you. You know, there are things, that's still part of note taking. There are things I teach in this church, for instance. And when I teach them, you guys go wild at the revelation. You know, it doesn't matter. Some places I'm teaching, I've taught them before. You heard them before. You just didn't remember that you've heard those things. When you go back to your notes, you'll find out some things I'm saying this year, I've said 4 years ago. The secret is, if you are written and you are going back to your notes, you would have seen that those things are there. How many things you forget? Whether you are studying your Bible in your room, I'm coming to that, so not today. Please, don't just study and go, write. Write. Are you following me? Write. Write. If you have a note that you write down, the things you do in your quiet time. One of the things that should accompany to your quiet time is your Bible and your writing material. Even if you use a devotional, take notes by yourself. Write down the things God is saying to you. Write down the things that you are, the things you are learning. So you look at that verse. God told John to document. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13. That's very powerful. Paul said unto Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So he asked for his books. So Paul had books. Bible historians will tell you these books refer to possibly writings of the Old Testament and other books, but he said especially the parchments. What are parchments? Parchments are writing materials used in those days. So they were either parchments that were filled with notes or parchments that were still to be used. But he said, bring them for me when coming. But there are possibly parchments filled with notes, because he would have gotten the parchments where he was. He told Timothy, when you are coming, I have some notes. Bring them for me when coming. Bring them for me when coming. So Paul had notes that he took. It's a major quality of a disciple to take notes. Paul had notes that he took. Take it seriously this year. If that have a word note, go and buy a word note. That's what you have to achieve this year. That's how to begin to set your year to work. And if you're using all these devices to take your notes, make sure you have a way of preserving them. Save them to your iCloud or whatever. Make sure it is preserved. Because you're not just writing for writing's sake. You are documenting things that generations will need. But if you do not know how to take notes with writing device, with all these tabs and all of that, buy pen and paper and write. You are not here to form for anybody. Are you know what I'm saying? Write. Are you following me? Write. Just like when we talk about reading. Some of you claim you are reading PDF. Yet you cannot read PDF. There are people that cannot read PDF. Some can. Now you cannot read PDF, but you want to form that you belong. Every page you slip off. You've been on page one for the past 6 months. And the chapter never finishes. Take notes. Say amen. Give me a translation of this. They gave me the books. King James used parchments. NLT used my papers. So I had papers that he wrote stuff on. And he preserved it. Timothy knew where the papers were. He knew where to get. So that he had traveled for long. He said, please bring them to me. I told somebody, the most valuable place in my house is my shelf. my bookshelf. It's the most valuable place. I got that place. Because it says, do you know how much your air conditions are? Do you know how much your car is? You know, what is found in those books can buy 20 air condition if I just apply them. I get what I'm talking about. If I apply what is in those books, they can buy 30 cars. After all, it was what is written in those books that produced everything that I have now. That's what I'm talking about. Those things are treasures. If actually you see the word of God as great spoil, then you must preserve them, document them. So when the teaching of the word is happening and you are not writing, you're not responding well to the word. Are you following me? Are you still following me? Do you still have room for some more? I have like 10 minutes that I want to take before I go. But amen? Just 10 more minutes. So you write them, document them. And this practice started from the Old Testament. It's not even today. You know, in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, when God gave the commandments to Moses, and this really challenged me. When God gave the commandment to Moses, he didn't just speak the commandments to Moses' hearing. He spoke them to his hearing, but he with his own hand wrote it. Read with me, everybody. Let's go. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So God himself wrote and gave Moses. He did not trust Moses' memory that he would remember everything. He wrote it by himself and gave him. So there's a culture of note taking. Even God took notes and gave Moses. And are teaching the word, and you think you remember everything. So I know what, but don't worry, I'll get it. Whether you're in your pitches, I see people that, okay, of course, it cannot happen now. Some people want to take pitches classes, and your teacher is teaching, and you're not writing. And if you're the teacher, stop teaching immediately. That's wasting your time. I get what I'm saying. That's wasting your precious time. You're not learning nothing. Right. Document the word. It's how to respond to the word. You document what is important to you. And if what is important to you, document it. Write it. Preserve it. So you notice, God gave the law to Moses. Of course, he spoke the law to him. From chapter 20 down, he was speaking to him. But after the whole thing, he wrote it by himself and gave him. In chapter 32 and verse 16, it retraced the fact that God wrote the law. The tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. So God wrote those laws on stones and gave it to Moses by himself. Of course, you know those laws, it was later broken. Moses got angry and smashed it and all of that. But you know what? Moses later wrote those laws. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24, when Moses was about to end his life, you know, he told them, and it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. So he wrote down things. He never assumed that the Israelites would remember what he was saying. Don't trust your memory like that. Write. So what I hear this morning, take note, and I'm saying to you, even if you know what they're saying, write it again. You say, why should I write it again? Listen, if you think you know something, and God still put it in your pastor's heart to say it, it's because God thinks you don't know it enough yet. So you write it. You know, one major mark of a good teaching ministry is repetition. And one of my pastors wrote something on Facebook. He said, one of the ways to be a good teacher of the word is to bring messages you've preached before and re-preach them exactly, the same notes, the same examples, the same scriptures. Don't just preach it again. That's how to establish people in the world. So when they're preaching it again, you are writing it again. When they're preaching it again, you are writing it again. And for every time you take notes, there is new insights. I get what I'm saying? Don't do your morning devotion without a pen and a paper. Don't read your Bible without your writing material. Write something. Write something. Write something. Write something. Almost every book I give you guys to read here, not all, but almost all of them, not only have I read them, I have notes I made from them. Like notes I made from them. I can refer back to them at any time. Are you following me? That's as soon as I tell you guys to write and summarize. So it's very to read rather and summarize. They say it's very stressful. Well, I leave you, but that's actually me. I'm reading the pattern book. I take notes because the things you read that bless you, you can forget. You should have a note from Prayer Force. You should have a note from God You Never Knew. You should have a note from all those books. Well documented notes. You document the word. You document it. Look at that. So they wrote it. God wrote it. Moses wrote the law and kept it. And I can tell you, that's why we still have the Old Testament today. Because Moses wrote it. I stay here. So he didn't trust that they will remember. He didn't trust that they will not forget. He believed they will forget, so he wrote it. So when the word is being taught, don't waste that moment. Write it. Think about that. Some of the teachings of Jesus lasted 3 days. And I showed you that in the Bible. Lasted 3 days. How come? You know, if they teach for 3 days, even if I teach for 4 hours, by the fourth hour, you might have forgotten what I said in the first hour. So how come they're able to remember the things he was saying? They were taking notes. And taking notes will stop you from sleeping off. You see everything I've been teaching? Stay focused. Take notes. It stops from sleeping off. So when you get back, as I'm coming for a mansion, buy a note. Are you following me? Buy a note. Buy a proper note. Call it word note. Don't solve mass on it. Are you following me? It's for the word of God. That kind of reverence is needed. Don't solve mass. Don't write list on it. So don't bring your word note. You are seeing pepper, 15 naira. Oh God, that, no, don't do that. Separate that note. And I just spoke to someone now. Amen. Separate that note specially. Specially. Value God's word like that. The word of God is that important. And that will bring me to something as I begin to wind up. Even the prophecy spoken, because all this prophecy, if you go for immersion, in immersion, before we are done with those 4 days, I would have spoken over 20 to 30 prophecies over your life. How can you remember those things? Do you remember the words I spoke over your Zoe? How many do you remember? For every session, even like this morning, I will just preach small, interrupt my message and speak words over you. How will you remember those things? Now, if you don't remember them, how can they work in your life? I'm coming to this maybe next week or next time I'm coming back to this teaching. Well, that's what to do with the message after. For instance, what to do with prophecy after is that Paul said that by them you might war a good warfare. So you use prophecy, you fight with prophecy. How can you contend with prophecy that you've forgotten? Are you guys what I'm saying? This is a commitment unto you, Timothy. According to the prophecies that were spoken over you, that by them thou mightest war a good warfare. So how can you war with a prophetic word you don't even remember? So when I speak over you, after the amen, amen, write it. That's how to receive it. Write it. Write it. You'll forget it too. Sometimes it's burning in your heart that you think you can never forget this thing. You forget it. And even though there are men of God that I don't totally follow, but I look at what they do. Even the people I follow, Brother Egan will tell you, if he's sharing his visions with you, he's telling you the day, he's telling you the time. He will tell you it's about 11:48 p.m. He took note because he wrote something. Yabishop Oyedepo will tell you in an 18-hour long vision, he will tell you the date, the time, because he took note. So when you make your notes, it will also be good that when you want to start Sunday service, write the date on top. That if something striking happens to you in that service where the word was coming, you can refer to it like 30 years after. To say, on 5th of January 2025, Pastor said this and my life changed. he fell back to it. I get what I'm saying? Or while in church, God began to speak to me about my calling. It was on so-so-so day. I was in church that day. Take notes. You take notes. I learned something this morning. Document. Maybe as I close, I will say, document the prophecy. Document also your action points. I'll close with that. Your action points. What are you? Of course, every message comes with what to do after the message. Have you observed? Application. You might write somewhere beside, I will confess God's word every month. Just take your point. I have to start doing this. Because as the word of God is coming, you are receiving instructions on what to do, what to stop doing, what to start doing, who to stop talking to, what to some of you, sometimes I preach a message sometimes on why you must be in church. And while I stand there, God is rebuking you, saying, you've not been coming, you've not been taking church attendance seriously. You feel so bad and you decide, I'm going to start. You notice by next week, you will not even come. Because the rebuke came in that service, but you didn't document it. So write action points. Take church attendance more seriously. I get to the point. Action point. That's why some of you have observed, every time I travel for meetings, especially when I travel for appointment. Right? Because appointment is a pastor's conference. What is taught there is ministry. Every time I travel for appointment and come back, I must reshuffle some things here. Have you observed? I must reshuffle things. I must say, well, we'll stop this, we'll start this, we'll align this. Why do I do that? Because as the word is coming, I'm taking correction, I'm taking action points. Are you following me, everybody? What to do? Stop doing this, start doing this this way. For instance, our PGTI classes, it was in different meetings, but the first time PGTI started holding, it was holding like once every year. It will run for like 1 week if you want to participate. Some of you, that's how you graduated, right? You just come and run. It's 1 week. You are done. You come in every day. Then I said, I went for a meeting. You know, pastor was just talking something. Say something. Just digression. And the Lord just said, that is for you. That pattern is not supposed to work. That's not the right way. So we reshuffled it. And I came back and I said, this is now the new thing. You take notes because God will be telling you things to do from the meeting. Are you what I'm talking about? We reshuffle that. We change that. And that's why a man of God, a child of God, a believer, must always be open to new instructions that God can bring. New instructions. So as I'm preaching, every day you are leaving church, once you are saying, say with me, I'm standing, after we do that declaration, when you are leaving, one of the things you are asking yourself in your heart is, what am I going to act on as I'm leaving church today? Message is about to end in less than 3 to 5 minutes. What are you going to act on as you are living here today? What new thing are you going to do? It's part of things you document. Pastor preached about this in his end dressing. It entered me. It entered me. Now, you find out you enter after you go home, you continue wearing what you're wearing. Why not write it on your notes? Change your wardrobe. Gather all those clothes. Give them out or burn them. Right. Document action points. So that you can even trace when your life changed. Like I can wake up and tell people, you know, I used to dress indecently. But then it was on 5th of January. Pastor jokingly said that when the word of God is coming, you should not dress in a way that will distract your neighbor by showing your laughs and your cleavages. And he said that jokingly. But I took it seriously. So you write it in your notes as you go home. This clothes is leaving my wardrobe. Action point. Is all following me this morning? Action point. How are you going to respond to the word? So document every instruction. How have you ever been listening to God's word and then suddenly it just impressed in your heart that you have to fast as you go home? Write it so you don't go home and start eating and forget it. Sometimes you might be in church and pastor is explaining something about impartation and the instruction you get to your heart is, tell pastor to lay hands on you over this business. You may forget it too. Write it. Write it. Say amen. So document the word. Are you blessed this morning? In closing, this is how to make sure that you don't come to church and others are getting whatever and you're not getting it.
From next time we come back to this message, I'm telling you, next week, by Thursday, we'll enter immersion. So I'll leave this message. After immersion, I'm coming back to this teaching. Is that okay? By the time I return to it, I'm going to start showing you what to do with the teaching of the word when you get home. Because everything I showed you now is what to do when you are in church. That's what that means, that the world will produce 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold. Amen. So this is what you do. See, if I say you are blessed, there's a way to rejoice and get it. If I say take correction, stop behaving like that, there's a way to react. Always learn to take correction. Always learn to write down whatever it is that you have to act on. So before I close, I want to ask you a question. What are you going to act on? What word are you going to do as you're leaving this service? Write it. What you may write on your notes may be, buy a new note. It might be just, what are you going to act on? What are you going to change? What are you going to readjust from your life? I'm just showing you how to take notes. So you are writing the teaching, you are writing the prophetic words coming, you are writing the action points, the what you're going to act on. Are you getting the point? What you're going to act on as you're leaving the service? So it's not just about, you know, those days when we were younger, nobody taught us how to take notes. So how we took notes those days, we were just writing the Bible verses. I don't know if you did that at the time. Just write the Bible. Write Bible verses, but that's not the major thing. You're writing what you're learning, prophetic words coming. Pastor said, I'm blessed. Right, I'm blessed. Pastor said, by this time next week, my head will be big. Write it. My head will be big next week. Just write those things. Then along the line, you just get it impressed in your heart. This week, preach to 5 people. On Wednesday, step out. Write it. Preach to 5 people. That's, you go home and begin to act on it. Why are you blessed today? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just give Jesus praise.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.